Good evening, everyone, and thanks so much for joining me on this call. My name is Dr. Alex Benzer, and I recently finished this book called The Tao of Dating, which some of you have been awaiting for quite some time. And I want to tell you a little bit about how The Tao of Dating came about, because it's an interesting little story in its own right. I just moved back to Boston. I just finished medical school back in San Diego, and I was thrilled to catch up with my old Harvard classmates, and half of these classmates were female. Dear friends of mine, love them very much, and, you know, kind of catching up with them, figuring out what's going on with their lives. And these were fabulous, smart, tremendously talented, driven, good-looking women, and single, for the most part. So, you know, I had to ask myself, all right, what's going on here? Something must be terribly, terribly wrong with the world if they're single. And they certainly did want to have loving relationships, and really, who doesn't? But somehow it was not happening for them. So I start to ask them questions, and I start to notice some patterns. So, for example, they'd say that they couldn't find the right guy. They'd say things like, oh, all the good guys are taken. Or they were with the wrong guy. They'd say, well, you know, it's okay. I'm sure he'll change eventually. Or they would say, well, you know, I met a guy who's really good, but they tend to run off as soon as things start getting serious. Or they'd been so frustrated that they just checked out the whole process of dating, and they said something like, well, you know, I'm too busy anyway. I'm really focusing on my career right now. And which sounded just a little tad disingenuous even then. And this just absolutely killed me, because these were great women, and I thought that they deserved to be with great guys who appreciated how great they really were. And it just burned me that this was not happening. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to dinner with someone and noticed that they have like a piece of food hanging from the side of their mouth, and it's completely obvious to you, but they're completely oblivious to it. Well, it was a little bit like that then, because I could totally see that these friends of mine were great, and they were totally selling themselves short. And I may have thought that they were fabulous, but it wasn't clear that they saw it that way as well. And what I saw was that they were unconsciously kind of abdicating their own power in the whole dating situation. And so that's when I decided to write a book. And the idea of the book was really simple. It's to help great women reclaim the power that they already have, both in the dating arena and beyond. And the beyond part is actually pretty important, because this whole Tao of Dating thing is really not just about dating. It's about your whole life. And when your whole life is going in a certain direction, then the dating thing naturally takes care of itself. And I've been studying Eastern philosophy for the past 12 years or so, especially Taoist philosophy, which I found very close to my heart. And that's all enumerated in this really short, pithy, yet incredibly powerful book called the Tao Te Ching. It's spelled Tao Te Ching, pronounced Tao Te Ching for complicated reasons that we're not going to discuss tonight. But that book really resonated with me, and it made big differences in my life when I applied its principles. I also found great stuff in Buddhist philosophy, yoga philosophy, and Hinduism. Right about then is when I started doing yoga as well, and all of these things kind of blended together and formed a way of living, which was very different from the go-go-go westernized system that I've been used to. And at the same time, I trained as a physician and a neuroscientist and a hypnotherapist and an NLP practitioner. And neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and hypnotherapy, they're change technology. They are ways to actually create behavioral change in people. And so I was doing a little bit of that. I had a hypnotherapy clinic back in Boston. And what I was realizing in the context of my therapy work and studying hypnosis and NLP and also seeing how people really do change was that to affect change in your life, it's not enough to just have good information, okay? That's just the what part. That's just the, okay, this is what needs to be done. And for those of us who consume self-improvement books, and I'm guessing that there's probably a couple of us on this call today, you may have noticed that you don't just buy one. You buy one, you read it, it's like, oh, wow, those are some great ideas. Then you shelve it, you buy another one. Wow, these are some great ideas too. And then that's put on the shelf, and then you buy another one. So if the ideas were so great and they change your life for the better, why would it be necessary to get more and more of these? It's mostly because as good as the ideas are, they are challenging to implement for the long term, and they're challenging to actually implement in a way that creates real behavioral change in you. So you need a how. And for me, those techniques from Western science and from hypnotherapy and from neuroscience and the peer-reviewed papers that are published in psychology journals, that for me provided the how. Because if you have a nail, it's not enough just to know how to drive it in. You actually need to have a hammer. So those are the tools. The tools come from the Western science, and the ideas, the attitude, come mostly from the Eastern wisdom. And that's the rough breakdown. I mean, there's going to be some overlap there. Okay, and the idea is that together, you put these things, you combine them, we have something really powerful. And I want to be the guy who introduces you to the science, if you're more on the spiritual side, and I want to be the guy who introduces you to the spiritual side if you're more scientific, because both of them have very useful, highly effective things to teach us. So, why are we having this call tonight? Because the Tao of Dating is complete, and we are here tonight to preview the book and to give you a bit of an introduction, which the book will be launching on Sunday, the 14th of December. So this is a little bit like a book reading and a little bit like a call-in show, a little bit of both. And there will be time in the middle and towards the end for you guys to chime in with whatever questions you have, especially if you've already read the sample chapters that we sent to you, very interested in what questions and feedback you have on that. And by way of introducing the book, I'd like to talk about the five main themes of the book as enumerated in the introduction. So the first one is enlightened self-interest. And this, I think, is a really powerful concept. It's got three words in it: enlightened, self, and interest. And the idea is that the right course of action to take in a given situation is almost always the one that has your long-term benefit in mind. Okay? So it's not somebody else's long-term benefit, it's not your short-term benefit, and it's not your long-term detriment. Okay? So that's why the three things matter, okay? Your long-term benefit in mind, okay? And that's what usually ends up being for everybody who's around, good for everybody who's around you too. So, you know, simple example is if you think in terms of enlightened self-interest, then you will, for example, recycle or compost or drive a Prius because, hey, you know, you're going to be breathing that air 20 years down the road too, so if you keep it clean now, it's going to be good for you and also for everybody else around you, okay? So, really simple example there, but that's kind of the idea. Enlightened self-interest, okay? And to bring that to the dating realm, for example, returning phone calls on time, okay? When you do it, even when you don't really feel like it, as opposed to cutting corners and just not calling the guy because you don't feel like it, well, guess what? You're going to get more calls back yourself, especially when it's that one Mr. Right that you met. You may not even know it yet. And by calling him back at the right time, he's not disappointed, he's not disillusioned, and so he stays in your life, okay? And that way, you'll be happier, and all the guys that you're interacting with will be happier. And incidentally, a guy will always appreciate when you call and turn him down as opposed to just so, just a little guy advice to throw in there. The second theme of the book is the be, do, have philosophy. And the idea is pretty simple, yet sometimes neglected. And let's take the example of getting rich, for example. Most people think that in order to be rich, you have to have money. Well, certainly a good start. However, you don't start that way. The way you start is by having the mindset of a wealthy individual. You think, okay, now I'm a rich person. What does a rich person do in this situation? Okay, how do I behave? When do I get up? What kind of interactions do I have? What kind of people do I surround myself with? Okay, when you have that mindset, then you start to have the behaviors that go with the mindset. Okay, the behaviors flow from the mindset. We start to have the right behaviors. From the right action flows the right results. So right beliefs become right behaviors, become right results. So that's the be, do, have philosophy of things. And that's why the big first section of the book is devoted to the whole be, beliefs and attitudes. The third is wealth consciousness. Now, this may be the most important of the five right there. And the idea is also pretty simple, yet sometimes neglected, which is that wherever you look, there's stuff. There is no stuff, okay? There's no vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. There's no negative matter. There's abundance everywhere you look, okay? There is no lack. And if you are sitting here right now, listening to me, with a phone, probably a roof over your head, your clothes are probably dry and clean, you're probably well fed, okay? At this moment, you have everything that you need. And you are in a state of incredible abundance, especially if you live in a Western country compared to other places where there is an abundance. There is no food in your fridge. There is no supermarket where you can walk in at any hour of the day and have whatever you want. Okay? To bring that to the realm of dating, there are about 6.5 billion people on the planet right now. Of those, half, so about 3.2 billion, are male. So if you're super duper picky and only 1% of those people are single enough, smart enough, wealthy enough to be your companion, that brings it down to about 32 million guys. And if you're super duper picky and only 1% of those are good enough to be eligible to be your companion, that brings it to 320,000 guys. That's more than you can date in a week or a month or 100 lifetimes. So there is unbelievable abundance out there, okay? And the idea is this: once you have the mindset of abundance, once you feel that there is opportunity out there, you just stop acting like you're hungry, because you're not, okay? And when you feel rich and empowered, you'll glow with that. And from that right feeling comes the right behavior, it leads to right results. And people notice it too. And you may have noticed how it's always the guys who have a girlfriend who are slightly more attractive. Why? Because they're not hungry, okay? So I think that having somebody in your life is almost a crutch to actually feel abundant, because you should always feel abundant. There's always reason for abundance. So own that abundance, feel it, radiate it, and from that, everything else will have to follow. And besides, the whole idea is to feel good. So if you can already feel good, then you're most of the way there. And fourth principle is the feminine-masculine polarity, the yin-yang. So this comes out of Taoist philosophy, and there's also precedent for it in Tantric Buddhism. And the idea is that the way of nature is for energy to flow from one pole to the other. They're not opposite poles, they're just complementary poles. If you have a magnet, it has to have two poles. One's the north pole, one's the south pole, and that's how the lines of energy flow. If you have electricity, you go from the cathode to the anode, you go from positive to negative, okay? And if you have gravity, it goes from, stuff flows from high to low, okay? If you don't have polarity, if it's flat, then energy does not flow, okay? And so it is in a relationship. You want there to be a masculine pole and a feminine pole. Now, most of the time, the feminine pole happens to be where the woman is, and most of the time, the masculine pole is where the man is. However, this is a fluid and dynamic thing. It can change over the course of a day, a week, a month. This stuff changes. However, the important principle to keep in mind is to maintain some notion of polarity. There has to be that difference between the masculine and the feminine. And the fifth principle.
Thank you so much for listening so far. Due to size restrictions, we have to cut off the talk at this point. If you'd like to listen to the rest of the talk, we invite you to go to www.taoofdating.com/valentine. Thanks for your attention.